You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Thursday, the 17th of November, 2022, and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, streaming at radioalbion.com. It's Thursday, which means that we have with us geopolitical analyst Dr. Matthew Raphael Johnson from russjournal.org. Matt, good day, sir. How are you doing?
Well, today's topic is a little depressing, although that's the case in 90% of our shows. But we'll see if people can make it through without having suicidal thoughts.
Well, it's quite a generalized topic today, isn't it? I mean, normally we concentrate on one particular country or one particular event, but what we're going to be talking about today is one particular discipline, I guess you would call it, and that is psychological warfare. And we're going to be using globalresearch.ca for our source material here. It has been said that power and control in the New World Order lie not in preserving territorial integrity, but in the ability to control information. Therefore, military psychological operations, or PSYOPs, are a vital component of national security, and they allow the military to more effectively achieve its strategic and tactical goals while minimizing the loss of life. For this reason, PSYOP, which is branded nowadays as the like war because of the dominance of social media, plays a larger role in today's conflicts, and it is a more attractive option to leaders and politicians. It is based on letter, word, photo, and body language. Traditionally, PSYOP's soldiers drop messages in the form of leaflets on the battlefield, or broadcast messages through speaker systems on jeeps, or broadcast directly into the homes via TV or radio, the Voice of America, which is a classic propaganda campaign. In 1991, PSYOP units dropped over 29 million leaflets to Iraqi soldiers, encouraging them to surrender, usually by stressing the inevitability of their defeat. Estimates show that nearly 98% of all Iraqi prisoners acknowledged having seen a leaflet, 88% said they believed the message, and 70% said the leaflets affected their decision to surrender. Of the estimated 100,000 soldiers who deserted or surrendered, many were found carrying leaflets in their hands or carrying them in their clothes. And I think you can really see with these statistics here, although that was used in wartime in Iraq, you can see why the establishment gets so concerned about alternative media and about people that aren't officially put there by the state talking to the general public like we are here. And I think this, you know, this really shows you why they are so scared. I think when you look at these statistics here, 90% said they believed the message, and this is coming from an enemy, remember, and yet 90% of the Iraqi soldiers believed it. What do you make of this, Matt?
Well, I remember when Edward Snowden first pulled the trigger on this stuff, exposing it all. You know, WikiLeaks has been really good on this stuff, but now it's up from underground. You have whole army units dedicated to this kind of thing. But I remember, I think it was 2014, that Obama issued an executive order asking that government departments apply behavioral science and behavioral methods to save money and to change the minds of government workers. But even then, it seems to be ancient history compared to now. The point of this is this, like in Britain, it's called the Joint Threat Research Intelligence Group. And in America, there's dozens, and most of them private companies, that share this kind of behavioral manipulation with both military and civilian targets. There was no way this was, you know, the whole concept of behavioral science and psychological operations was meant to control a population. but it used, almost by its very structure, it used to promote falsehood, something that seems false because it is false. And leaflets, you know, it surprises me that so many Iraqi soldiers had had taken these leaflets seriously. This has been going on since World War I. The leafleting is a very crude form of the PSYOP. I don't off the top of my head. I heard about them, but I don't remember exactly what it said. But clearly it was highly effective. And it you know, this is meant to create a public mind, a false consensus, whether it be military or civilian targets. And the social media are heavily invested in these firms dealing with social manipulation. And a lot of it's run by AI these days. So this is this is kind of general for us, but it's something worth talking about because it's getting worse and worse and worse. And of course, there are no controls over. I mean, even now, there's a Information Warfare Department, Office of Information Control. There's, you know, and 100 other variations of those phrases that even have come before Congress. The anti-disinformation, a lot of these things, and have been challenged by congressmen as that this is simply absolutely unacceptable. So this is probably the highest peak of the public-private partnership, the regime, and how it's going to control information. Besides the fact, you have a handful of families, you have a handful of Jewish families that control media, print, and otherwise, and this propaganda requires that. Really, it requires two things. It requires, number one, total media centralization, because there you only have a few people to influence. And number two, public ignorance. This requires public ignorance to function. People don't know much about a lot of these topics, so they can be easily manipulated about them. But the group I mentioned, the Joint Threat Research Intelligence Group, in their own charter, which I've read recently, it talks about manipulating opinion. It talks about applying research in the creation, you know, psychological research in the formation of ideology, in public trust, social interaction, you know, where voting habits come from, et cetera, and then feeding this into a computer that then can use and manipulate images, articles, whatever it is, to change people's minds, to make something seem what it's not. So this is about falsehood. This is a regime that admits it has no right to rule and therefore needs to use these because, you know, obviously public opinion is very important. And the most unfortunate thing is that, you know, Russia and China are not very good at this. And this has always been the case in the past. These commercial states, you know, the bourgeois capitalist states are far better at this kind of manipulation than anyone else because Madison Avenue is, you know, consumer capitalism is based on this manipulation, creating an image, and advertising runs on this exclusively. So it's in harnessing the irrational, they want to manipulate people without them really knowing it. And we've been talking about this, or this movement we're a part of for decades. But only now is it so obvious and out in the open that there's recruitment ads for some of these, especially the Army group, which I've seen too, and what they're saying, the power you're going to have when you join this. So this is – we're just at the cusp of this. This is going to get worse and worse and worse. And you're right. This is why people like me and you are a threat, because we aren't ignorant, because we can challenge them. We can successfully challenge them, and we can put these dissident positions competently and intelligently. You know, they can let their idiots run wild, but they can't do that for us. So maybe we should take it as some kind of a backhanded compliment.
Well, it's something that the British excelled at, didn't they, in World War One, and then we had World War Two, and now bringing it into peacetime. I can remember a few years back we had the Nudge Committee over here in Britain. They were tasked with shaping public opinion, and we had something called the Knitting Circle, which was a group that coordinated soap operas to put certain storylines in that sort of gave people ideas of how they were supposed to respond to certain situations. And of course, that was years ago, before we actually had social media. Now it's so much easier to manipulate people's opinions with social media. Getting back to this article here, Mr. Scott Bennett told the Syria Times, and Mr. Scott Bennett is a former US Army psychological warfare officer from the 11th Psychological Operations Battalion, Civil Affairs Psychological Operations Command, and a global psychological warfare counter-terrorism analyst, formerly with defence contractor Booz Allen Hamilton. And he's actually taking part in this in the writing of this article as well. Well, he told the Syria Times, "The mission of psychological warfare is to persuade, change, and influence people's behaviours by communicating specific thoughts, ideas, and feelings to them. The medium today is television, newspapers, magazines, mainstream media, television again, and also the internet platforms of social media, including Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, etc. The basic aspects of modern psychological operations have been known by other names and terms, including military information support operations, MISO, political warfare, hearts and minds, psyops, and just propaganda. One of the reasons for the effectiveness of influencing society today is a combination of decadent culture and poor education in America and much of Europe, according to Mr. Bennett, who holds a PhD in political theory. He says, education institutions have become indoctrination centres rather than academies for the exploration of ideas or the free exchange of research. There is an unhealthy emphasis on feelings and emotional issues rather than focusing on concrete disciplines and science or skills such as reason, philosophy, law, architecture, mathematics, science, education, etc. As a result, culture has become warped and people's minds have become softened in America. This has also led to an abandonment of religion and moral values and substituted it with humanism, which is inherently mentally destabilizing. This mental instability cultivates violence and aggression, and for that reason there is a moral recklessness and blind superiority that the West is becoming toxic with, which is leading it into these endless conflicts in Ukraine, Syria, Bolivia, and other countries, as well as waging war against its own citizens who espouse traditional family values and conservative religious identity. So, in short, there is a civil war brewing in the United States. And we've just been seeing things like this happening over in Britain at the moment. The universities have all been told that they have to embed critical race theory into every subject. That's including scientific subjects, subjects to do with maths, physics, all of them have to indoctrinate the idea of white guilt and white privilege and critical race theory into everything. And this just came out yesterday, so it's not just happening in America, it's happening all over the West. I mean, what do you make of what the author has to say here, Matt?
Well, we have a PhD in the same topic. Well, mine is a history of political theory, but it's I understand where he's coming from. This is a criticism of social sciences like sociology and psychology, who want to map the possibilities of all kinds of human action and motivation. And then, of course, when you give that to the wrong people, leads to the artificial promotion of ideas that would never exist otherwise. And when you consider how, you know, the U.S. is the only empire in the world that its most productive and founding citizens, white people, have been taught to hate themselves. But everyone else has been taught to think communally. That doesn't just happen. That bizarrely non-natural, homosexuality, speaking of non-natural, they had to overcome millennia of all these mental barriers against this kind of thing. That doesn't happen. That requires not just propaganda, but also warfare, occasional economic downturns, and the harnessing of fear. I said harnessing the passions, which is what advertising does. But as far as when this is applied politically and civilly, it's to inculcate fear. And what fear does is create conformity. It makes people psychologically vulnerable. Even the idea, I know there's research out on this deliberate putting out of this information, the crazy people who are allegedly on our side who say stupid things, like the flat earth people or whatever, that also is a psyop. And to confuse the population with all manner of choices and theories that they have no basis for deciding among. So, and remember, I get the impression when you read all the manuals and introductions to this topic. Only sometimes is the concern to alter people's minds in a specific issue. Because in order to do that, the background thinking, almost a subconscious element of our decision making, when that's controlled, everything else is easy to deal with. That's why he mentions, you know, humanism and stuff like that. Once you eliminate, you know, once you promote, you know, Darwinism and nominalism and empiricism to the point where it's considered identical with science and identical to education, it becomes very easy to then guide that for a specific issue over time. So the point is to hit people not just in the passions, but in the origin of the passions, in the subconscious, and not those border areas where, you know, the collective archetypes are found. And that's the root of it. If you control the root, you can control all the branches. So, and sometimes it's crude, but the point is to create an impression. This is all Madison Avenue does. This is all advertising does. They don't come out and say that this beer will get you laid or something like that. That's an old one. But they'll juxtapose the two together so many times and over such a long period of time that you're not aware that you're now associating those two things. So it's not, you know, buy this beer because women will like you. It's giving people the subconscious impression that that kind of beer, the party lifestyle, will lead to that kind of fulfillment. So it's an impression. Same thing for China or Russia. It isn't so much issue by issue, but giving the general impression that Russians are somehow inherently evil. And you mentioned the old British. I mean, the British were doing this in the Crimean War, painting Russians as subhuman barbarians, Mongols, whatever, you know, whatever. And it's still going on. You know, what the left would call blatant racism against the Russian people is to be found everywhere, including in the State Department. In other words, they're too ignorant to have an election. But even if that's true, though, in their minds, it's controlling the foundational feelings and associations from which specific ideas grow and germinate. And that's why when you study advertising, you know, it's not this blatant thing. People stupidly say, if someone tells you to go, you know, and get drunk, you're going to do it. No, that's not the point. Nothing is ever that crude. It's slowly associating several socially desirable traits, like sexuality, for example, and a certain product. But that product could be ideological. That product could be geopolitical. Yeah, of course, people don't know anything about that stuff. So it becomes even easier. So long as you control the roots, the soil, so to speak, from which all of these actions and ideas drive, it becomes very easy. This kind of Madison Avenue form of association is extremely important. I think that's the root of how this stuff works.
Well, it seems that technology has outwitted our morality. Dependence on psychological warfare has increased after former US President Barack Obama signed in 2012 an executive order that allows propaganda to be used on American citizens, which means allowing the media to purposely lie to the American people. We are now at a time when technology is far outpacing morality in the United States. The last 20 years of the war on terror, in the empire expansion, which the United States has done in the name of human rights and liberation and other terms of propaganda, is unable to be abandoned. And therefore, the US political establishment, its media and its military have fully vested themselves in extending and continuing this empire building through information warfare. We see the control of social media companies like YouTube, Twitter and Facebook manipulating people's opinions and attitudes and behaviours. We also witnessed the development of politically correct language and the violent rejection and ostracism and cancelling of anyone that contradicts or does not submit to this new ideology of political correctness and wokeism, which includes fanatical ideas on climate change, homosexuality and experimentation on children. Mr. Bennett clarified, and we have seen a complete upending of our morality, particularly with children. If you were to say 10 years ago that we would be supporting the mutilation of children and we'll be claiming that there could be children that could be transgender or that could be LGBT. People have just looked at you and said, well, that's absolutely crazy. There's no way that anybody would go along with that. But the majority of our society now goes along with this. And there's a reason for that, because as you say there, Matt, the ground has already been sown for us to go along with these ideas with everything that we're seeing on the mainstream platforms, basically. I mean, what do you think of what he has to say here about technology outwitting morality, Matt?
Well, I mentioned already the Obama executive order. Actually, I forgot it was in here. And yeah, I guess in print, it's talked about government agencies motivating their workers and saving money. But to think that for 2 seconds it's going to stay there, you know, the so-called big data, which was a big fad a few years ago, it's the massive amount of data of people working on or going through social media, you know, using keywords and all this stuff to create a profile. And that this profile then could have personalized, what we used to call personalized advertising, aimed at them. Again, it's not just for products. It could be for anything. It could be for a political idea, a foreign policy decision, or at least the general idea that the United States has the right inherently to rule the planet. And that's where what a rogue nation is. That phrase, rogue nation, is very suspicious, because all of a sudden you saw everywhere. But no one will ask the question, well, rogue from what? Well, of course, it's the empire and its ideology. And again, this not just a matter of, it doesn't just rely on public ignorance, but the inability of people to think critically. Critical thinking is difficult. You're not born with it. It's sometimes you don't like where your thoughts are going, but you have to deal with it. Relieving the population of the ability or the necessity to decide important things is treated as a wonderful thing by the bulk of the population that doesn't have the ability or the time to get deep into all of these issues. Essentially, people are being herded to the polls and herded to certain, you know, TV shows and images that gradually alter their opinions. You know, if you were to go to your average leftist, take 10 years ago, and talk about, you know, sex change operations on kids, they would vehemently reject it. Who could possibly think of that? And yet the association of that kind of thing with celebrities, with liberation, just the juxtaposition of these images, that was enough to get the left, at least, to be fully on board, like it's the most obvious thing in the world that we should defend this. 10 years ago, they would have mocked the idea that they were going to support this. But, you know, the left, that's how the left functions. What they rejected 10 years ago is something they accept today. Although, of course, the core of that ideology, the regime itself knew decades ago that this was an option and something they're going to push. So it's rather these things are released slowly but surely into the general population. And when that gets normalized, they go on to something else. And this is why conservatives are such losers. Because every time something is normalized, okay, we accept it, but just not anything new. And then that gets normalized. Okay, it's good. We know there's responsible people in that field, but no more. And then they keep going year after year after year after year. And by the time, you know, we have today, conservatives thinking that the Clinton administration was this beacon of morality and virtue. And yes, I have heard that said before, by comparison to Biden, whatever. Stolen elections, you know, when you only have a handful of media controllers, largely all of one ethnicity, this is much easier than it would have been 100 years ago when Edward Bernays wrote his famous book, Propaganda, from which a lot of this field derives. E. Michael Jones has put out. E. Michael Jones, in fact, has been great on psychological warfare. But now, as people are dumbed down and it gets worse and worse, ruled by fear, they feel more and more comfortable coming out into the open. And that's why you have psyops departments running ads for scholars to come work with them. But this is what the social sciences have always been. You quantify public behavior. People are not people. They're just votes or, you know, consumers. And they can be controlled separately and even bracketed. You know, the consumer is different from the voter, for example. And it could override any of the much older mental barriers against this kind of thing. you know, the racing, a mixing of races, white and black, you know, 60 years ago was outrageous. I mean, even the left, when it was talking about its integration, so, oh, no, we're not in favor of that. We just want there to be freedom of association. Now, of course, it's the norm. And as you well know, since the summer of 2020, Madison Avenue Advertising has completely cut out white males from its products, despite the fact that most of these products are not aimed at black males or black females. Advertisements today are entirely a non-white affair, and they associate this smiling non-white couple with this product. And, you know, you could build on one, you know, the foundation of manipulation can be used to build to another issue and to another issue and to another issue. This is how association works. And the massive amount of research now on this from the social sciences means that they know exactly how to control the bulk of the population. And not only that, but marginalize the small minority who intellectually know to reject it. You know, the constant use of the phrase conspiracy theory. When you see these terms repeated over and over and over again, you know they have some roots in the social sciences. This doesn't just happen that way. People read the headlines. They don't read anything beyond that, which is why sometimes headlines and the article have nothing in common. They realize that they're aimed not at intellectuals necessarily, but they're aimed at the great bulk of the population that does not use reason to make its decisions.
Well, they admit that what they're doing is predictive programming by replacing white people with black people in the advertisements, because they say, well, this is preparing people for the increase that we're going to have in the non-white population, so that they're not surprised when they look out the window and everybody is non-white. And you bring up the term rogue nation there, and I haven't heard that for a while, or the misspelling of it as rouge nation. But what is a rogue nation? Basically an independently minded nation. One perhaps like Syria. Going back to the article here, he underscored that the foundation of the American delusion is that it has a moral and spiritual right and a duty to change governments, people, and cultures anywhere, anytime that suits the interests of the United States. This has been the driving force behind the American military juggernaut in Afghanistan and Iraq and other countries, including Syria. Syria was the last nation that America tried to overthrow until Russia and Iran stopped America's regime change operation. From the very beginning, we heard the US, NATO, European slogans of saving the Syrian people from President Bashar al-Assad, and the psychological war that was waged against the American people and the European people. The purpose was to brainwash the world into the false understanding that President Bashar al-Assad was a cruel torturer and dictator, which was a complete lie, Mr. Bennett said. In this context, the activist and writer Sue Ann Martinson wrote on December 5th, 2016, an example from October 2016 of using mass communication as a weapon of psychological warfare is the work of the public relations company Syria Campaign, which was created to garner support for US involvement in Syria. Max Blumenthal describes the campaign thus, posing as a non-political solidarity organization, the Syria Campaign leverages local partners and media contacts to push the US into toppling another Middle Eastern government. As part of the campaign, the White Helmets were promoted as international heroes helping civilian victims, particularly in Aleppo. In this extremely slick campaign, they were featured in the mainstream corporate media, including Time magazine and on the major TV and radio networks, and even on the alternative news program, Democracy Now! The idea was to win the hearts and minds of the American people who are drawn to do-gooders or shining knights. But as Max Blumenthal notes, this seemingly impartial group was funded by the US to create sympathy for US military intervention and regime change in Syria. Mr. Bennett described what happened in Syria as a great tragedy because it was a wonderful country, an innocent country and highly developed that included among its population Christians, Jews and Muslims. It was a crime against humanity for the West to attempt to overthrow Bashar al-Assad and wreak the plague of the Wahhabi fanatics and other mercenaries down upon the good people of Syria, he says. It is the greatest crime America has committed, in my opinion, because Syria was the most advanced country in the Middle East in many ways. ISIS and al-Qaeda terrorists have been funded, financed and trained by the United States and the US government, has lied to the American people. And we've spoken about the white helmets before, haven't we, Matt? I think most of our listeners are aware of what they were put in place for and their links to these terrorist organizations. Do you want to simplify why it is that ISIS and Al-Qaeda are actually working for America? I expect most of our listeners know, but for new listeners, that may be a surprise to them.
Right. Well, I want to put it out there first that I was the one who developed this theory. From the very first day I saw the ISIS, you know, the Charlie's Angels picture, where they're all posed in this perfect Charlie's Angels looking, you know, wearing black in the desert. But I said at the time, I said, how can something like ISIS ever come into existence without Western knowledge, since every penny going into that part of the world is being watched? Every inch of that desert is being watched by spy satellites. These guys are training out in the open. And from one day they don't exist, the next day, not only are they fighting the very advanced Syrian army to a standstill, but they have their own currency. They have their own fleet of tankers, as you know, the Turks have spoken of. How can that possibly happen overnight? But it was shocking that, of course, the mass man can't think that way. It is beyond their grasp, partially because it's simply too complicated, partially because they can't deal with the fact that everything that they thought was true growing up is false, which is, I think, a great barrier that they've helped create over time. But ISIS has never hit an American or Israeli target. They've not hit Saudi targets, come to think of it. Whatever the U.S. is involved against, it happened in Syria, Iran, and against the Emirate in Afghanistan, only them, only there do they show up. And they're, you know, they never lack any money. They have tons of ammunition. They have a standardized military apparatus. They have a prison system. And the propaganda was so crude that they're this evil group of people. It read like a Hollywood movie script. It read like the a two-dimensional bad guy in a Bond film, that they were raping babies. You know, you start hearing that rhetoric over and over and over again. You know it can't be true. The concentration camps in Xinjiang. And it just shows you the Jewish influence over things, that they can't get away from the Hitler archetype. We're to the point where even if you convince somebody of the truth of the matter, they still really can't talk about it, because people have been brainwashed to such an extent that they can't fathom the idea. And that's why they laugh at you, or they walk away, or try to get you into trouble or something like that. It's been drummed into their heads so long and for so many different reasons, from so many different angles, that the concept that they've been taken in for decades is foreign to them. And they can't really deal with that. But the ISIS charade, from the first day, because all of a sudden they showed up. And now, by the way, all of a sudden, I haven't heard from them in a long time. It was such a two-dimensional, awful, you know, like the Rambo-style bad guy organization. In fact, there is an ISIS. I think it was in the series Archer. ISIS is the bad guys, or the bad guy. Of course, they all speak English perfectly. They have glossy magazines. And this happened pretty much overnight. And the official explanations are never consistent. And who are these trained men? Where are they from? Just, you know, one day you hear of them, massive armies. But that's the nature of critical thinking. That's when you start asking basic questions. And that's beyond. I mean, we can't overestimate the intelligence of the people around us. That's what mass society is, being processed as part of the mass, easily controlled, easily manipulated, like a mob. Is the core of propaganda. It's the core of all of these, you know, conformity ultimately is the core of social manipulation. And they could even create oxymoronically the socially acceptable rebels. They're rebels against the system, and yet they're lavish with money and praise and government jobs. And even there, people can't answer the question, well, they can't be a rebel then. If they're fed it in either books and books and books published in major presses. And yet even that is beyond the mass mind to understand. The mass mind thinks in terms of images and associations, and then the emotional content that's connected to both.
Well, I think it started out with in Libya, didn't it? With the so-called rebels in Libya, and then they became the rebels in Syria after that. And if I remember rightly, at this time, there was talk of Muslims being offered £2,000 a week to go out there and fight against Muammar Gaddafi. And that was sort of pretty much being done openly. And the British government were not, you know, they weren't fussed about it, that Muslims were going over there to become rebels in Libya. And of course, then they went on to become rebels in Syria. Then they become ISIS. And then you have the American government using them as their reason for actually being in Syria. And now you've got a similar thing happening in Ukraine. You've got neo-Nazis as opposed to Islamic militants in Syria. You now have neo-Nazis in Ukraine that just happen to be carrying out America's will against Russia and fighting for gay rights. And gay rights, gay pride, wokeism, this is all being indoctrinated into the military, as Mr. Bennett continues talking about here. Moreover, Mr. Bennett declared that he has no doubt that the current events in Iran are being fomented by the US, CIA, MI6 and Mossad. The US is using mercenaries, and it often brainwashes these mercenaries and gets them addicted to cut off their morals before unleashing them on a far-off land, and we have seen that this is becoming the new strategy for low-intensity conflict, and Ukraine is a perfect example of it. The US brainwashed the Ukrainians with the help of Israel and Britain to become Nazis, cover themselves with tattoos, and engage in a war against Russia and against their families. He affirmed that military components used a lot of different images and sensibilities against the soldiers, and they were convinced that they have to fight in other countries to protect their women and families. This ideology is permeated into almost a blind religion, and this is where things get quite dangerous, because you no longer have professional military experts in the US understanding that the nature of propaganda is as a tool of war. It is now becoming a religious ideology that intoxicates the military political class in America. They believe their own lies, a self-brainwashing. Joe Biden and his government, who are inappropriate for any political position, have weaponized information against the US and foreign public so that they can unleash this military conquest of the world. And I think I remember it's required reading for the American military now to read Ibram X. Kendi and all this anti-white pro-communist literature, that the literal head of the military services in America is saying that all these soldiers have to read this stuff. What do you make of what he's saying here about Ukraine and this blowback, basically, with the propaganda, Matt?
Yeah, you know, again, Johnson's Law is extremely important here. In fact, this kind of propaganda is dependent on it. When you have a distant, obscure area, there's no real reason to tell the truth, because their stories are far more important to them. The truth is boring to them, and the truth is complicated, and it's hard to package complexity and promote it in a movie or whatever. One of my favorite examples of this was the public image of the American soldier, the American military man. I come from a military family. I'm a minority, and not only not going against it, but fighting it. That when I was a kid in the 80s, you still had the Vietnam mentality around, where soldiers were evil because they were inherently conservative and fought communist movements abroad. Somewhere between the first Iraq War and 9/11, that completely did a 180. And these guys were all of a sudden, out of nowhere, called heroes, called invincible. Even though they lose battle after battle, they're still considered invincible. That takes some processing. And the old prejudice, and this is all based on prejudice, the old prejudice that the military is conservative doesn't seem to be going anywhere, despite their public and open embracing of every leftist ideology imaginable. The creation of public image, public relations specifically, this is the core of American politics. And this is why when you read the foreign press, it's like two different planets. You could tell somebody that the media is controlled. You could show all the names. And since that prejudice is embedded not in their conscious mind, but in their background mind, it's not going to mean anything. Facts aren't really that important as far as the mass mind is concerned. Those kind of emotional associations are. So no matter what the U.S. military does, no matter how many wars it loses, no matter what kind of abuse they're engaged in, the the subconscious, the foundational part of the mind, still sees them as invincible and conservative and the, you know, the best in America. Even the phrase, the men and women of the American military. Well, the people who are killed in battle are 99.9% male. Women are not relevant to it. But it's now become a cliche that people can hardly, you can't help but say it. Because any time that's mentioned, they mention that exact phrase. And how they're able to throw these key phrases out, and over time, what that does to your thinking. Remember, this isn't done overnight. Creating deep-seated associations takes a very long time. And that's why they're saying, you know, this all rests on some blind faith against everything, against what's right in front of their eyes. That the media is telling the truth. It can't be that bad. It can't happen here. That kind of thing. 9/11 was a classic example of this. How many times did they play that thing? No one but me asked the question, how the heck could they possibly know that it's Al-Qaeda a half hour after the second plane hit? And I was the only one who asked that. It seems like a very simple question. But this is what happens when the consciousness is processed and manipulated over time.
Well, truth is clearly the antidote to this, but what they've done is they've made the truth seem so far out and different to what the narrative is that people doubt it when they even hear the truth now. Concerning how misinformation and disinformation functions on the internet, Mr. Bennett clarified that there are computer systems that specifically create algorithms using language, topics, and tonality. This very advanced computer system weaponizes language, imagery, and locations to formulate carefully crafted paragraphs that mention just the right word at just the right time and just the right reflection point to have a positive connection, to check the box and say like. For example, you want the poor Ukrainian children to live, do you not? Yes, of course, and that leads them to other choices, then vote to support Ukraine, and so on. He commented on a question about the best and effective way to confront the psi warfare by saying, truth is the most powerful weapon in psychological warfare. Lies cannot stand against it, nor can deceptive bullying or aggressive commentators defend against it. Truth resonates in the hearts and minds of independent thinkers. The alternative to mainstream media or government-focused propaganda is alternative voices, platforms, and media that are speaking the opposite of the propaganda and showing facts and figures and examples. As a result of cancel culture and the shutting down of video platforms by independent journalists and people speaking the truth about various subjects, new platforms are rising, such as Odyssey, Rumble, Radeon, and others. And of course, where he says others here, I would suggest Radio Albion should be included there too. These new mediums and new leaders rising up will be the front lines of the new information war that is evolving in America. The years between 1945 at the end of World War II through to the early 1950s were seminal in the development of mass communication in the social sciences and psychological warfare in the US government. The seeds were planted early in 1942 during the war when President Franklin Delano Roosevelt appointed Wall Street lawyer William Wild Bill Donovan, director of the CIA's predecessor, the Office of Strategic Services. Donovan was among the first in the United States to articulate a more or less unified theory of psychological warfare. He called it the engineering of consent, with the idea that peacetime propaganda campaigns could effectively be adapted to open warfare. So all of this was originally used against our opponents. Now it's been used against ourselves. And the only antidote to it is the alternative media. Matt, what are your final thoughts on this today?
Well, this is prefaced on the idea that emotions are immediate, while the conclusion of logic is mediated. It takes a while to reach a logical conclusion. You have to go through steps. Emotions just happen whether you want them to happen or not. They're absolutely immediate. Therefore, when you associate certain things with various emotions, you can override reason because the emotion is far more powerful, comes sooner than critical thinking. And especially if they've created the archetype where people who do tell the truth are lunatics and they're dangerous, and it's perfectly okay to shut them down and fire them. Once that happens, even the handful who understand this stuff will be frightened to say anything. You know, we've made huge sacrifices in doing this full time for a living. We could have been a lot of other things. But for us, cognitive dissonance is painful. I think for the mass, cognitive dissonance is normal.
Very, very wise words there, Matt. Thank you very much for coming on today. Thank you very much, listeners, for listening. I'll be back tomorrow with Grandpa Dan. God bless and hail victory.
You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.